I was inspired greatly one afternoon when I was sitting out, and it was about 75, 80 degrees, the first couple of weeks of June. And I had my feet out, and of course I had to follow procedure and precautions in order to make sure I didn't kill myself. And there was this blue jay that came next to me for a little visit. I don't know if any of you like blue jays. Some people don't like blue jays at all. They're probably not a favorite bird, but I love blue jays. It seemed as though when I was a kid, that's all I saw was blue jays. And there were plenty of them. They're kind of naughty, those blue jays, in some ways. But this blue jay came up to me, and I was sitting, meditating, praying, and of course I was trying to do some message preparation for the months ahead. And it so happened that as that little blue jay came up to me, I was reading from Matthew chapter 7. And, you know, Jesus talks to his followers by using a simple little bird, a bird that flies in and flies out, a bird that may seem to be insignificant, but yet is part of God's creation. I don't know, do we have a picture of birds? Look at all these birds up here. No, look, hi guys. I had one of these guys. What is that bird right here? What is it? Oh, I had one of these birds one time that we had him in the house and he was in a cage and everything. And I was just getting ready for my Sunday morning sermon. And that thing took, I had my sermon on the coffee table. And he came and he started chewing on my sermon, eating it up. So he ripped it apart. He went down one line and down the other. And they're amazing birds. But that bird kind of accidentally disappeared after a little while. I'll say nothing more, but I've gotten the blame for that bird getting out of the house. But birds are kind of interesting. And the birds of the air, Jesus talks about them. And he says, take a look at them and consider their ways. In Matthew 6:26, Jesus said, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, as I was thinking of the storm this past week, and it's amazing how God brings it all together, his words applies to everything. I mean, the storm of this week certainly has some great spiritual applications. The average bird enjoys a pretty nice standard of living, don't you think? I mean, they got it made, some of them, most of them. And they got comfortable housing in an excellent location and incredible views as they look out of their nests. You know, they're mortgage-free. There's no traffic problems. They never have to hunt for a parking space. They got plenty places to eat nearby. You know, they got it made. And every winter, this is what bugs me about birds. Every single winter, they get to travel south for an extended vacation. And here am I, left here in northern Maine. Or in Maine. You see, Jesus tells us not to waste our lives with worry. Worry. He tells us that it's for the birds. We need to be looking at the birds of the air and looking at the example a simple little bird can leave us with. Our Heavenly Father feeds them, Jesus says. He feeds them. He looks after them. He cares for them. But I want you to consider for a moment how he feeds the birds of the air and how he doesn't feed them. And I want you to consider how he provides for them and how he doesn't provide for them. Ah, there he is contradicting himself, you might say. Those low-cost, high-rise condominiums where all those birds reside, and we call them birds' nests, they just don't appear out of nowhere, do they? The building materials are made available. You know, they don't have to go to Home Depot or Lowe's for building materials. And it's up to each bird to gather what they need and carry it to the branch of their choice where they can set up a little bit of a construction project, and everything goes on from there. The same goes for the food they eat. Think of it, the food they eat. You know, I wonder sometimes, I see a bird that really decided not to head south for the winter, and I see them in the middle of the winter, and I wonder, you know, how can they survive? How can they make it through such harsh winter conditions that you and I have to go through? Well, there's an answer to all of that. Food is all around those birds, and it's not delivered to their front door. They just don't call Domino's Pizza when they need something to eat. They go out and look for it. There's no lacking of supply, and there for the taking, right there in their own neighborhood, the bird just needs to invest a little effort to receive what God has provided for them, and what he's provided for them in a plentiful way. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you're gone to the birds. And Jesus says, we're to think of life in the same way. He says, in effect, there's no need for you to worry. There's no need for you to get your socks in a knot. There's no need for you to get upset. Look at the birds. Look at how they follow it. Look at how they do it. And, you know, maybe there's a lesson from nature to follow what the birds do. Now, as we've experienced a very challenging week, and some of you have gone through such, you know, a lot of turmoil this week, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of inconvenience. As we have looked at this past week and seen all the challenges that we've faced, we need to follow the example of the birds. That's right. We need to follow the examples of the birds because many of us don't live the same kind of carefree life of abundant provision that the typical bird enjoys. Instead, we spend our days sweating out the details. We spend our days worrying. We spend our days fretting. We spend our days consuming our time wholeheartedly with things that really, as my grandmother used to say, don't amount to a hill of beans. You see, we spend our time sweating out the details, consumed by the lack, and we're overcome with worry. And if you have that problem of worry, do you worry? My mother used to worry. When I was a student, I used to hitchhike back and forth to college. And I'd get out on the side of the road and stick my thumb up, and here it was a 350-mile jaunt from Cape Breton Island to Moncton, New Brunswick. And I'd make it every time. And she'd worry, worry, worry that someone's going to pick me up and do me in. Well, guess what? God looked after me. And he took care of me. And she was a real, what I call, worry wart. This is really not how God intends his people to live, to worry. Like the birds of the air, He wants you and I to enjoy His abundant provision in every area of life, in every sphere of life. The mistake we often make, though, is that we expect His abundant provision to fall out of the sky. We just think it's going to come upon us. It's going to happen. It's going to fall on us, and it's going to be that, and that's it. That it's going to arrive at our doorstep without any kind of adequate effort on our part. That it is sort of like manna from heaven. That's not how it works in God's economy. And you and I have a tough time trying to understand that. You and I have a tough job trying to understand that God does look after His own. In the midst of power outages, in the midst of storms, somehow we just fail to get the message as we should sometimes. A few verses after Jesus talks about why we shouldn't worry, He talks about the steps we must take in order to receive all that God has for us. And so today I want us to look at this issue of, you know, that God is our provider. He's our provider. And these are steps we need to take to receive all that God has for us. And He says that He has some good things for us. And so today, I want to talk to you about how to make the transition from being paralyzed by fear, by worry, and by anxiety, from that into experiencing the fullness of God's abundant provision. Now, I know that's easier said than done. I know that's not easy for many of us to grasp and to try to get a hold of. But God has a message for us through the birds of the air, even in the midst of power outages that last 5, 6, 7 days, or maybe more. Just like the birds. Matthew 7. These are some of the most familiar words ever spoken by Jesus. If you have your Bible, turn to that passage if you would. In fact, there's so much power in these verses, and there's the word power again. There's so much power in these verses, if you will take them to heart and apply them to your life, you will not only rise to a new level of abundance, you will experience more of God's peace each and every moment. And in the process, you'll make the world a better place to live if you take these words to heart. Remember I said earlier it's about perspective? We need to have perspective. And God gives us some perspective even as a result of what we experienced this past week. And you may be here this morning and say, I'm all confused and I don't understand why this happened to me or why things happened the way they did this past week. But God has a word for you today. And He has perspective for you to be comforted, for you to be challenged in, and for you to be enabled to serve Him and to know Him better in the days to come. Well, here's God's word, Matthew 7. Why don't we stand? Let's read it together. Just to give you a different place, possession here, so you're not sitting all the time. All right. These are familiar verses for many of us. Let's read it. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. You may be seated. If there is something lacking in your life, in any area of your life, today's message will show you how to fill the gap. And in order to experience God's abundant provision, just like the birds of the air, there are three principles we need to remember. Write them down if you'd like. And the first principle is this, that persistence is the pathway to go. Persistence is the name of the game. Those birds get pretty persistent. Those birds are pretty stubborn, some of them. Those birds, if someone will knock down their nest, guess what? 5 minutes later, they're rebuilding it. They're putting it all back together. They're persistent. That's the thing about a bird. And we learn from the laws of nature itself, even through birds in the air, that this is something that you and I can grasp. You and I can take a hold of. Why are humans so stubborn to learn these lessons, I wonder? Why is it that you and I have so much difficulty trying to figure out some of the very simple things that even a bird can figure out? Well, you know, there's a lesson in persistence. And Jesus said this in verse 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Now, that's a verse of scripture that many of us have learned way back when we were knee-high to a grasshopper in Sunday school, maybe. But these words of Jesus that he gives us are very, very powerful. William Barclay, in one of his commentaries, he called this passage the charter of prayer, because when it comes down to it, prayer is about more than just merely asking. It's about more than that. And we sometimes treat prayer as a wish. You know, like our Christmas wish. Things that we want, we put on a wish list. And we kind of think, you know, God, give me this and that and everything else. And, you know, all this list, this is your list, this is my Christmas list, and so this is a list I'm just offering to you. You know, it's like a wish we make when we blow out the candles on a cake. Or a wish we make when we see, something happen that's not very good and not very comfortable. People will say, "Oh, I've made my wish, and so let's just sit back and see if it comes true or not." You know, people were wishing for power this week. People were saying, "Oh, I wish my power will come on, you know, right now, because I want to see the news, or I want to be able to plug the toaster in," or things like that. But that's not what prayer is. It's not what prayer is. Prayer is much more hands-on than that. It's much more proactive than that. You see, prayer involves asking, of course. That's the first thing we do when we pray. We're asking. That's where prayer begins. And sometimes we neglect to take this first simple step. And Jesus said that, James, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not." And I can't tell you the number of times that I've found myself stressed about a situation, and I've worried about an unmet need, and I realize that I haven't even bothered to take it before the Lord. I haven't even been bothered to bring it before him. I hadn't asked God about it. I hadn't consulted with him about it. You see, prayer involves asking. And that's what we do on Wednesday nights. We're coming together to believe God on Wednesday nights when we gather, the 7 to 12 of us that usually gather. It's the most wonderful, intimate group of fellow believers that we sit right up here and we pray for the rest of you. We pray, we wish you were here for one thing. But we pray for your needs, we pray for this church, we pray that spiritual battles will be won in the name of Christ. Prayer involves asking. It also involves seeking. That means that you actively go looking for an answer. That's what it means. If you need a job, you begin by asking for a job in your prayers, right? You need a job, you just don't sit home. You need a job, you just don't kind of, you know, wish that someone would pop in and offer you a job. It doesn't work that way. And then you check the want ads because that's part of seeking a job. That's part of the process. And prayer also involves knocking. It involves knocking. That means you check the want ads if you're looking for a job. It means you're actively pursuing a job. It means you're getting some leather to the pavement. And you're taking some initiative to make sure that you're going to find a job. You're not just sitting home, and you're not just going through some wishful thinking about it, but you're actively doing something. You're knocking. You're pounding the pavement. So it's kind of that picture that Jesus is giving us. My favorite hockey player of all time, and yes, I am a hockey fan, is Wayne Gretzky. And Wayne Gretzky, who was the greatest hockey player I believe ever put a pair of skates on, he said this, that you miss 100% of the shots you never take. Now think of that. You miss 100% of the shots you never take. He's talking about the knocking part of the question. And that applies to every area of life. If you miss 100% of the jobs you don't apply for, you miss out on 100% of the God-given opportunities you ignore. You miss out on the 100% of the provision that you don't persistently pursue. So, the birds of the air are talking to us about persistence. These words are important. Asking, seeking, knocking. Three words, three principles. They're all about persistence. It has to do with the way this verse was taken in the original Greek, and I wish I had time to go through that with you. But I don't. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. And he used the present imperative here in the Greek. In the present imperative, he's saying, in effect, it isn't a one-time birthday wish. It isn't a one-time thing. It's a keep-it-all habit. You ask, and you ask, and you keep asking. You do that. You just keep at it. Or as they say in Newfoundland, you keep at it and to it and to it and at it until you're to it and at it again. You keep to it and at it. You keep asking. You keep knocking. You keep seeking. You're persistent. What happens when you keep on asking, seeking, and knocking? Well, look at verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The door will be opened. I've had opportunity to experience that firsthand in my own life. Keep asking, seeking, knocking, and all of a sudden a door opens. An opportunity comes. A privilege comes. An opportunity that I may not even be prepared for. An opportunity that may even at times take me by surprise comes my way. And sometimes I'm startled. Sometimes I don't know how to handle it. But yet, that comes my way. And when it does come, what am I supposed to do with it? Am I supposed to just say, oh, you know, I think I'll just wait till the next one. This doesn't look good enough. That happens. That's sometimes the way we think. But for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Persistence is the pathway, let me tell you, folks, it's the pathway to God's abundant provision. It really is. If you give up, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So if today you're not enjoying the same carefree life as the birds of the air, maybe it's time to reevaluate your commitment to be persistent in prayer. Because remember, as Jonathan Edwards, the great revivalist, said, God will do nothing but an answer to prayer. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the power. Prayer is the life. Prayer is our DNA. It's who we are. And then the second thing is this. We're to be consistently focused. No doubt you've heard the saying, be careful what you ask for, you might just get it, right? That's been told to me. I've heard that many times. And no doubt we can all think of examples where this very thing and occasion may have very well happened. The be careful what you ask for warning might be valid in every other context, but it is never valid in the context of prayer. Never is. God will never, ever give you anything outside the scope of His will. God will always provide for you what is in His will. If it is outside His will, He'll let you know. He'll communicate that to you in one way or another. He'll use circumstances. He'll use other people. He will intervene in some way, because God has your best interests in His heart. He'll never give you anything that does not ultimately work for your good. That's important for us to remember. As we've gone through this storm this past week, it's good to remember that He will provide for us. He has our best interest at heart. He'll comfort us. He'll provide for us. He'll strengthen us. Listen again to what Jesus said in verse 9. He says, which of you, He asks this question, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And then verse 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. I love this phrase. How much more? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Now it sounds like He's onto something here. Jesus used the example of bread and a stone because along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and when I was along the shore of Galilee a few years ago in our trip to Israel, I actually saw stones. You would almost think they were loaves of bread because they were shaped like loaves of bread. It was one of the most interesting things I saw when I was there. And so, you know, along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, you would find small, round limestone rocks that were the same shape, the same size, and the color of a loaf of bread. And if you put one of these rocks on a table from a distance, you might actually think it was a loaf of bread. But it wasn't. It was a stone. It was a rock. You can't eat it. It's pretty hard to eat a rock. Although my brother-in-law's dog ate a rock, and it cost $5,000 to do stomach surgery on him. And so Jesus is saying, in effect, if you ask your Father for bread, He won't give you a useless imitation. He's not going to imitate it. He's not going to give you something that's fake. He's not going to provide something for you that's way out on left field. He is going to provide for you the real thing. The real thing. Okay? What a great promise. And that's a promise right here from God's Word. If you ask your Father for bread, He won't give you a useless imitation. He'll give you the real thing. And the point that Jesus is making here, and he also uses the example of a fish as well. The point he's making is that when you bring something to God in prayer, God will not play games with you by giving you something you don't need or something you're not permitted to have or something that's bad for you or something that's not being productive for you. When you bring your request to God, you can trust the goodness of God to provide that which is best for you and that which is according to His will for your life. That's what God says. That's His promise to us. And then Jesus mentions a third thing here of why worry is not for the birds or for the birds. He talks about blessing others, the other people you come in contact with. And I saw a lot of that this past week. I saw a lot of people blessing other people. I saw a lot of people standing in the gap. I saw a lot of people coming to one another's aid. I saw a lot of people being inconvenienced in order to go out and help other people. Jesus mentioned something about that right here. And that's why this passage is relevant for this day, from what we've experienced this past week. Of all the things Jesus said, these are probably His best known words. Sometimes taken out of context as well. In verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. I've often wondered what that meant until I've experienced it firsthand when people blessed me in ways that I can't imagine. At first glance, it may appear that Jesus suddenly changed the subject. He was talking about persistence in prayer. He was talking about the birds of the air. And now all of a sudden, He's talking about how we treat others. Well, okay. You say, does that relate to what He was saying a couple of verses earlier? Absolutely it relates. It absolutely ties in. He's talking about persistence in prayer. And now all of a sudden, He's talking about how we treat others. Actually, He's not changing the subject at all. Because if you read the context, and if you read the passage, He's completing the subject because these two matters go hand in hand. How dare you say you pray? And how dare you say you are a holy Charlie? Or you are someone that has some kind of an interconnection with God, or you are someone that has some kind of a lease on spiritual things, when you're not considered, you don't consider your brother in need, or when you don't consider someone else. That's what He's talking about. That when you bless others, no matter what way it might be, some of us have been on the receiving end of that blessing this week, of those kinds of blessings. Some have taken the initiative to bless others this week. But when you bless others, you open the door for God to bring the blessing of His abundant provision into your life. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what He's communicating. And I think it's important for us to remember. You see, there is a spiritual blessing of reciprocity. As you give, you will receive. Therefore, treat others the way you want to be treated. Bless others the way you want to be blessed. Comfort others the way you want to be comforted. Give others a second chance the way you want to be given a second chance. Encourage others the way you want to be encouraged. It just ties together beautifully. And the guideline Jesus gave us to go by is incredibly simple to follow. Very simple. Even a child can understand it. And it's this: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, sometimes we kind of laugh at that. And we laugh it off. But there's power in those words. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you can be sure that just as Jesus said, the measure you use will be measured to you. That's the principle right there. You see, blessing others is the open door to God's blessing in your life. It really is. If you want to experience the fullness of God's provision, blessing others is the strategy that will move you in this direction. Now, how can we be a blessing to others from this church? This morning I suggested in the adult class that maybe we ought to consider the possibility later on of maybe opening our building to people in need in the community, that when there is a big storm outage like what we had this past week, that people can come here and they can get their cell phones charged. That's if we have power, but you know, we could fix that with a generator. Or we could do things and make this building a blessing to people in the community. We could have showers. People could come and take a shower. We could, you know, we can feed them. We got a great kitchen downstairs. That's part of blessing others. That could be a great blessing and a great testimony to God's grace in our community. So, does God's word have relevance? You bet your sweet bippy, as they used to say on that TV show a long, long time ago. You bet it's relevant. God's provision is available to us. God wants to work through us. The birds of the air, where are those birds? Birds of the air have lessons for us. The birds of the air can be powerful, a powerful indication of how God wants his people to live. So let's take those words to heart. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, help us, we pray, to take the example of the birds of the air, because they don't seem to be worried about the day in and day out operations of life. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to trust you like those birds for their provision. Help us, O God, to know that we are called to ask, to seek, to knock, and to serve you, and to serve people, and to love people. Lord, this is our prayer today, that our Heavenly Father will provide all we need if we're willing to do our part, if we're willing to be the channel of blessing that he's called us to be, and if we're persistently committed to prayer, consistently focused on blessing others. Lord, you desire to do that in us and through us. Speak to us, O God. O God, help us not just to think of these in terms of nice words, but Lord, help us to put them in action. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.